with us.
Get up.
Get up.
Stand up now.
You are good.
Good morning. So I got two things to discuss with you before we get back into worship. One, I believe I was lied to as a kid because you apparently can have too much of a good thing. And if you follow my Instagram or my Facebook, you notice this bruise on my elbow from playing golf. Yes, people think that couldn't have happened playing golf. But yes, I'm here to tell you I have had too much of a good thing. And now I am on a golf hiatus. Not by my own choice, but so that I can play later. The other thing is how many watched that race yesterday? Anybody watch a horse race yesterday? First time ever in history a horse gets disqualified? Aren't you glad you aren't disqualified this morning? You're never going to be disqualified with God. It doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter what you do, you can't nudge anybody enough out of the way that he's going to say, you're out of here. Isn't that awesome? So let's get back into worship and let's give some thanks, yeah?
I'm Well, I've been washed by the blood.
Amen.
Thank you.
every song we've sang this morning is just about the goodness of God and the greatness of who He is. The goodness of God and the greatness of who He is. Not only is He this great, all-powerful, sovereign King who lives within you, who dwells among you, who chose that His home would be His people, but in His greatness, He's good. He's good. There's a scripture in Isaiah, and the nation was in ruins, and it just looked bleak. But Isaiah said, "But I saw the Lord high and lifted up," and it says, "and His robe filled the temple." His robe filled the temple. You see, in that moment, Isaiah had to look up. To see God high and lifted up, he had to look up. So many times we are just looking at what's right in front of us. We're just looking at the mess, or we're looking at struggle, or we're looking at this thing that seems so big. And all we got to do sometimes is just look up. Look up. Look up. Because He is great. Not only is He great, He is good. He's good. Look up. Fix your eyes on who He is, and you allow your strength to come from fixing your eyes and looking up on who He is, and you're going to know how to pray. You're going to know what to say. And Dad starts a new series today, and I'm so excited. It's called The Priesthood. We know that He is our high priest, but He has called all of us to be priests and to walk with full access to the one who says, "Look up. Now you look within and you withdraw from within, because I am high and lifted up, and there is nothing too great. There is nothing too massive." He's so much bigger. Our problems sometimes can seem so huge. They can seem so big. He's so much bigger. He's so much greater. All we got to do is look up. Is look up. Is look up. See above. See above. And see who He is and walk in who we are. Grander earth is quaked before, moved by the sound of His voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for Your regard. And through it all, and through it all, my eyes are on You. And through it all, through it all, it is well. And through it all, and through it all, my eyes are on You, and it is well with me. Oh, it is well.
And when still know His name.
Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you that you watch over every promise. You watch over your word to perform it, to do it, to do it. And we walk in it. We walk in victory. We don't wait for it. We walk in it. Because it is ours. It is here. The kingdom is now. It's not to come. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and enter into it. I'm in it right now because I'm in this moment and His presence and His goodness, and anything can happen in this moment because we're walking in it and we're choosing, Father, to look up, and we see you high and lifted up, and we see, Father, your robe filling this temple, and your robe is filled with healing. Your robe is filled with provision. Your robe is filled with mercy. Your robe is filled with grace. It is filled with goodness. It is filled with love, and it surrounds us, and it just enwraps us, Father. It raptures us up in who you are, Father, and we thank you. We rejoice in this moment. This moment, and we say today is a good day, and we'll rejoice, and we will be glad, and we will celebrate in it. And everyone says, amen.
Thank you. Good morning. How's everybody? Good? You sure? Didn't sound too good. That sound better. We'll do a little lengthy introduction to this series this morning before I get into the scriptures. Thank you, Ron. And take my time with it. That don't mean I'm going to be here all day. Just going to take my time. Is that okay? Can I teach this morning and not preach? You know preach is going to break out, though, don't you? But I want to lay a foundation. Our theme for the year is just the word love. L-O-V-E. And when they came up with the graphic, I was teasing them about it first of the year that I wish they had put combat boots on the letters. Because love is, they had it in such a beautiful flow, but how me know love sometimes gets a little tough. You know, see, to me, tough love is not getting on somebody and telling them how, you know, what they need to do this or do that. Some people call that tough love. Anybody ever been chewed out and say, I'm just giving you tough love? Well, to me, tough love is not chewing somebody out and telling them why wrong that. To me, tough love is loving the unlovable. It's loving through the hard times. It's loving when it's not easy to love. To me, that's what tough love is. It's so when I gave them the title for this series, Priesthood, I didn't really give them any a lot to do about that. You know, the only thing I said to Dusty, I said it's a challenging series and it's a provoking series. And so when I saw this graphic, I thought, wow, now that, without me saying anything, but I want to tell you what I like about this graphic. I like the hands because they look like they're working hands. Will you agree? Look like they're strong hands. And then the cross, which represents the sacrifice of Jesus, but how many also knows it represents the sacrifice that we give? How many know that the cross was not only Jesus' sacrifice, but Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. So not only did he give his life as a sacrifice, but Jesus said, you've got to take up your cross and you've got to follow me. So there is a cross to bear. The Bible says we got to bear our cross and we got to help people bear their crosses. So we come into this priesthood, and I like the prayer beads because it's about intercession. So my father, and I'm talk about this because I want to get to his favorite scripture that I heard him quote 1,000 times. But my dad was a ordained Southern Baptist minister. And he had a brother named Uncle Andrew who was a ordained Pentecostal pastor. And I had an uncle named Uncle Van, and we won't talk about Uncle Van. We'll just leave Uncle Van to Uncle Van. But Uncle Andrew told Daddy, he said, brother, that's what he called him all the time. He said, brother, you know there's more to it than what you have. Daddy said, well, what is more to it? He said, well, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Uncle Andrew said, you know, Drew, brother, you just need to get down on your knees and you need to pray through, and that's what Pentecostals do, until you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, some of you don't have a clue what this is about, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when someone prays and asks God for the Spirit that's within them to baptize them in the Holy Spirit, and they believe that you speak in other tongues when you get it. And I think that's part of it. I almost did not get ordained in a Pentecostal denomination because when I went up before the board, they asked me, do I believe that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I said, no. And my uncle Andrew was there, and he said, he really does. He was on the board that was going to ordain me, and he just said, he really does believe that. And I didn't. But I clarified, I said, I believe it is a evidence, but I don't believe it is the evidence. I believe the evidence of a spirit-filled life is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and meekness and faith. I believe a spirit-filled life is one of love and forgiveness and mercy and grace. I believe that a spirit-filled life is that you are in love with God and you're in love with His creation. Okay, well, anyway. So Daddy got the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a Baptist church, in a Sunday school class, kneeling at an old cane chair. And after he got that, he got kicked out. of the Southern Baptist Church. He got the, we, they called it back then the right foot of fellowship. And so he gets kicked out of the Baptist Church, and he joins the Pentecostal denomination, and he goes to get ordained by them, and they won't ordain him because he'd been married before. Christianity can get a little weird sometimes, can't it? Now, they said, we will accept you as a corporate pastor, but we won't ordain you. But we will cooperate with you, and you can even pastor one of our Pentecostal churches. We just won't ordain you. Anyway, Christianity can, do you agree Christianity can get a little confusing sometimes? So I'm raised up, and I'm going to hitchhike on what my brother shared about disqualified. Aren't you glad you can never be disqualified? Me too. Well, I grew up and spent probably the first 15 years in ministry believing that I could be disqualified. I lived with a fear of God that was unhealthy. Not a reverential fear of God, a fear of God. I'm talking about a fear like you have of your daddy when you know you've done wrong and he knows you've done wrong. Anybody remember that fear? I know we don't live in those days today. When I grew up, it would be child abuse today. Really? I grew up when we didn't get spankings. We got whippings or whoopings. I'm serious. My daddy cut our hair until I was a teenager. And he had a barber strap. Anybody ever know what a barber strap is? Anyway, sharpened their razors to shave people. Well, he had a barber strap, and we got whoopings with it. And so I had this fear of God because we believed in that denomination that Jesus came back and you were in a theater, you're not going. For real. Or if had you just sinned and had not confessed that sin, you weren't going. It's a pretty fearful place to walk in, isn't it? That at any moment Jesus could come, and if you're not sanctified, holy, filled with the Holy Ghost, you ain't going. I mean, that was a terrifying thought to have. Progress to realize that once you belong to Him, you're forever His. And my daddy's Southern Baptist roots begin to grow back through our family and reclaim us into an eternal security, understanding that once you are His, you're always His. And I want to be crystal clear. I believe that with every fiber of my being. You can never, ever, ever lose your salvation, which takes you to heaven. But that is not why you were saved. That is not why you were born again. That is not why He has called you. That's not why. You're not saved from something. You're saved for something. In the Old Testament, it goes like this. I have brought you out so that I may bring you in. I'm going to bring you out of bondage, out of Egypt, bring you into the promised land, into a land flowing with milk and honey, into a land that is symbolic of a life that I want all people to live, a bountiful, fruitful life. But I have found out something that I have to be serious about, and that is my priesthood. And that is your priesthood. Because everyone who has been called by God, everyone who has accepted this calling, everyone who has signed up, whatever term you want to use, everybody who has decided that Jesus is their Christ, their Lord, their Savior, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, whoever has signed up for this has been chosen to be a priest. A priest unto God. And we have to take serious that. Say serious. The last verse in Ephesians says, grace be upon all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. You know, I'm a jokester. I'm a cut up. I enjoy life. I like making people laugh. I like making my family laugh. I spend most of my time and family time trying to make them laugh. But I'm a serious individual when it comes to what I believe about the kingdom of God. And sometimes maybe the seriousness has been clouded by the other. But I want you to know something. Your calling and your choosing is a serious matter before God. And we have a responsibility and a challenge to that. I don't believe I can ever be disqualified. You know, for that horse to run that race like he did. Now, the horse doesn't, how many know the horse doesn't know? He didn't win. I mean, everybody say that poor horse is fine. That poor horse today has no clue he didn't win the race. Right? Has no clue. And after all these years, there's a disqualification and this other horse wins because there was a rule broken. And you can't push another horse into another horse. You just, certain things you just can't do. You get disqualified. I mean, no, that's the way in all sports. There's rules to go by. Until some of you get nervous. Buren just said rules. I see right now there's a little nervous energy floating around in here. Good. That's what I wanted. I found out, though, I can be disqualified from fulfilling my mission and my calling on this earth. I can be. Paul said he had a fear that he would preach to others and that he himself would be disqualified. He said, so I beat my body under subjection. I run the race that I may win. I do it with all my heart, with all my might, with all my strength, because I do not want to be disqualified from what I'm doing. It's a serious matter when it comes to the kingdom of God and our commitment to it and our responsibility in it. In 2 Peter chapter verse 2, verse 9 says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. It's interesting that Peter's talking to Gentiles. We'll see that in a moment when we go back to the first chapter. We're probably going to be in 1 and 2 Peter for the next few weeks, except for Mother's Day and our friend and family day. But Peter is with the disciples one day, and Jesus comes to them and says, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're John the Baptist risen from the dead. But Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? How many know that it doesn't matter what anybody else says, it's who do you say? I remember when I recommitted my life to God, a guy I worked with, my boss came up to me and says, Buren, I heard you recommitted your life to Jesus last night. I said, yes, I did. I said, you know, my dad's a preacher. And he said, that don't mean nothing. I'm talking to you. I'm glad that you. I mean, no, it's what we say and what we do as an individual. So Peter steps up and he says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, upon what you just said, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven did. And he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Upon this rock, the statement you just made, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. And I'm going to give you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom. And whatever doors you open, they open. Whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Pretty strong, isn't it? And so the Catholic Church has Peter as their rock, and that the church was built upon Peter and succession of apostolic ministries down through the years. But what Jesus was saying to Peter, upon this rock, Petros, Greek, upon the statement you made that I'll build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you, Peter, Petros, I'm going to build my church, a piece of the rock. And so Peter is saying to the Gentile church, in essence, you're all a piece of the Petros. You're a Petros, a piece of the rock that his church is built on. Savor that for a moment. You are a piece of the rock. Peter also said in 2 Peter, you are living stones, lively stones, built into the fabric of the church. He says, you are a priesthood, a royal priesthood. What does all that mean? Again, Peter's talking to the Gentiles scattered throughout the world. God has scattered pieces of the rock all over the world. How many know that God's got an agenda for the world? To save it, to redeem it, to rescue it, to restore it, to renew it. His agenda has never, ever, ever changed. His agenda is for the whole world, for everybody. It's never changed. And his agenda will stay that way until it happens. He'll not stop. He'll not give up. And he's got to have people to do it, though. I remember, you've heard me tell the story, but I just got tired of fighting battles. I just got tired of fighting. Imagine if I get tired of fighting battles. Y'all be a pastor sometime. I got tired of fighting battles. I got tired of studying God's word, and you get a revelation, and you share a revelation, and people leave. You share truth, and people leave. I just got tired of fighting in battles, Joe. I was tired of fighting in battles, and I was in the elevator at the hospital, and the door's open, and you know there's kind of just a line there, and Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, you draw the line. You draw the line. You don't want any more revelation. You don't want any of this anymore. Just draw the line. I just stepped over the line and I said, let's forget that conversation in the elevator. Let's just forget that. Because I want to tell you something that God doesn't put up with. He didn't put up with foolishness. He didn't put up with cowardness. He wants an army. He wants a family. He wants strong men and strong women who will stand for what they believe, no matter the cost of what it cost. That's what he wants. How many know this is an army? You're an army. And how many know there's a boot camp in the army? The boot camp is to get them prepared. For what? Be prepared. Train them to such an extent that they can fly into an island and they can be told when their feet hit the ground, 50% of you are going to be killed before you get to where you're going. And all of them take off running, fighting for their country because they've been trained and prepared for that moment when their feet hit that ground. They're not backing up. Because they're ready. They're prepared. I ain't into the message yet. I want us to take serious this thing called Christianity. It's a serious matter. We are the army of God, and we're all priests. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, this letter's from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him, have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Chosen people of God. For what? How many ever remember being chosen for anything? Isn't it a privilege? How many played sports and you got chosen? Didn't it feel good? You got chosen? Didn't you always feel bad for the guy in the neighborhood when he's the last one chosen? And you know why he's the last one chosen? Because he can't play. And they don't want him on their team. Don't it feel good to be chosen, though, up front? But you know what I found out as a kid coming up? And all everything I was chosen for, I was chosen for something to do. I wasn't just chosen. I was chosen on the baseball team to play a certain position. Chosen in basketball, play a certain position. Chosen in whatever sport it is, you're chosen to do a specific function in that team, right? You and I have been chosen by God to do a specific function in the kingdom of God. And He needs you to do it. He needs me to do it. But listen, if I don't do it, He'll find somebody else to do it for me. He won't disqualify me from the kingdom, but He will. Somebody's going to have to do what you are called to do. And nobody, and you can't say, well, nobody else can do it. Because yes, they can. Yes, they can. Somebody else can do it. They can. Because God's got to have somebody in that place doing it. Y'all look at me like a mule and looking at a new gate, that my daddy used to say. We have a responsibility. He said to the children of Israel, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. And I'm going to give it to a nation who will bear the fruit thereof. We, as Gentiles, have been chosen for an intermediate plan of God until the Jews are grafted back in, Romans chapter 11, to fulfill this intermediate plan of God until that happens. And listen, to be chosen by the Creator of the universe, to be chosen by God is a challenge and responsibility, chosen for service to be used for His purposes. We got to take responsibility for our calling. We got to. We got to be serious about it. Serious about it. Peter, we Gentiles were, before this happened, we were said we were fuel for the fires of hell. Peter believed that. Peter believed before he had a vision on the top of a house that Gentiles were alienated and separated from God until he had a vision. And God in that vision told him differently, and Peter changed and began to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And now he's speaking to these Gentiles, giving them some serious instructions about the kingdom of God. That you've been chosen as foreigners, pilgrims, sojourners. What does that mean? We're to live our life here on this earth. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're part of the world. We're not aloof from it, but we're not the same. And we have to take serious that and live our life accordingly, that I am a priest unto God to fulfill a priestly function on this earth. And a priest's function was always for other people. Always. And because of their weaknesses, the Bible says that they could deal gently with people who were ignorant and people who were wayward or away from God. I told Wednesday night, I was talking to some people, and I said, everything has to do in life about what you know. Because what you don't know will kill you. What you don't know will really harm you. Knowledge of what to do, how many know, is critically important. Critically important to know what to do. And he's speaking, he wants them and wants us to know. Sometimes people, all the time, people go awry is because they don't know any better. And we got to deal with them accordingly. As pilgrims means this, we're in a strange land, we're going through it, but our hearts are always turned toward God. We see things in the light of eternity, and life is a journey toward God all the time. In the world, but not of the world. Seated with him in heavenly places, yet I'm right here on this planet walking. But I'm chosen. Long ago, say long ago. How many know that when Adam and Eve sinned, God wasn't shocked? God didn't go, oh no, what am I going to do now? How many know that God has never said, wow? God has never said, whoa, that took me by surprise. How many know God never has said, oh, that I didn't see that one coming. Nothing. God wasn't surprised that the Jewish nation at that time was not going to accept him. That didn't surprise him. And so he had a plan. He chose us long ago. By the foreknowledge of God, he chose you long ago. Mother's Day, Lord willing, I'm going to share a story about Eve, about a mother whose heart was always to do what was right, and who didn't partake of a tree out of rebellion. She took it because she thought it would help. She wasn't trying to be rebellious. She was trying to help her family. She was trying to help the future. That's Mother's Day. Chosen. He knew what was going to happen. Can I just say this for a moment? He knows. He knew what was going to happen. BJ, at 2 weeks, he already knew it. And he had prepared you to get through that. He already knew that. He already knew what you'd go through in 2 weeks of one thing after another. He knew that. He knew that. He knew. He knew what you're going through. He knew what was going to happen to Shannon. He knew what was going to take place. He has always known everything. He is the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God who knows everything. And that's why you can trust him. Because he chose you long, long, long ago and knew everything that would ever happen to you. And therefore is in the process, if you will let him, preparing you for whatever may come your way and get you through it. Get you through it. Aren't you glad of that? To get us through it? I have to remind myself every now and then, God, you knew this. For I said this, you knew this. For I learned this, you knew this. For I said this, you knew this. You knew this. I have to keep reminding myself that he knows my every step. And he's with me my every moment. Because he chose me long ago. And his spirit has sanctified me. And his blood has cleansed me. And all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live. And I want to close with this. And please listen to what Peter says, because this is absolutely amazing. We live with great expectation. Or say great hope. How many know hope is expectation of good? Hope is expectation of good things in the future. The best is yet to come. It's great. We have a priceless inheritance. Say priceless. How much value do you put on your inheritance? You got two inheritances, by the way. Yeah. You got one you got from your forefathers. It's a natural inheritance. Some of that can be good, some of that can be bad. Some of that can be good, some of that can be bad. There can be some bad. How many know there can be some bad genes passed along, inherited, that you had no control over? No control over. There can be some bad things passed on to you for whatever reason. It just came down the line. That's an inheritance in the natural. But we have a heavenly inheritance that changes over. And God gives you an inheritance. And he said, it is priceless. I'll tell you how valuable this inheritance is. Jesus said the kingdom of God's like this. A man found a treasure in a field, and he went and sold everything he had and bought that field. Kingdom of God is like a man who found a great pearl, a great price. He sold everything he had, and he bought that field. Why does Jesus say that? To tell you how valuable the kingdom is, because that's what he did. When he came to this earth, he found a treasure. And you know who that treasure is? You. And he sold everything he had, and he bought you. He gave up everything he had, and he bought you. And he found a pearl of great price. You know who that pearl is? You. And he sold everything he had, and he bought you. He paid the price. You have not been redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought you. But then he said, it's an inheritance that's kept in heaven. It's protected. I don't know about you, but in this life, in this world, I've known some people to go through some really hard times. I've known people who lost their inheritance. You ever known anybody lost their inheritance? People have gone bankrupt. Aren't you glad that you have an inheritance that's protected in heaven, and the stock market or anything else has nothing to do with it? That circumstances and situations have nothing to do with it, that it is protected by him and him alone. And it's pure, it's undefiled, and it is so powerful that it is by it you receive the salvation that he's given. Say salvation. Now I want you to know what salvation is. I love that. That's pretty cool, Michael. You want to do that again? I don't know if that's God talking, saying, you know, that's probably enough. Sometimes you got it like, yeah, well, maybe what this is about, you know. You have an inheritance. You have a responsibility. And I know you don't like to be called up, but I'm calling you up to the keyboard. Going to get in a lot about priesthood that's pretty heavy and pretty deep the weeks to come. But a priest, when he's consecrated, the high priest came to him with the blood. And he walked up to him with the blood, and he put it on his right earlobe. Just put the blood on his right earlobe. How many know nothing is in Scripture for no reason? He said, I want your ear always to be tuned into heaven. I want your ear always to be tuned to heaven, not to what's around you. I want your ear always be tuned to heaven. And then he took the blood and put it upon his right thumb, signifying, I want you to know that everything you do now, do as unto the Lord. That you're here to everything in life you do, you remember it's unto the Lord. thumb's the only finger that can touch every other one. It's the only finger that can, it brings balance to the hand. It's so critical to the hands, that thumb, to do what he's called you to do. And then he took the blood and he put it on his big right toe. During that time when there was war, they would go and get the kings and they would cut off their thumb, their ear, and their big toe, because they knew how much that meant to the body. God means it in a spiritual sense. You're a priest. Priests that walk through this earth with your ear bent toward heaven, with your hand reached out to help, with your feet to walk in the path that he wants you to walk in. As we stand, every single day of my life, I have to remind myself of who I am. I was telling Will this week, back when we went by this big church in Atlanta, I was going to the hospital, and I said, that's where I got my collar. First time I wore clerical collar was at that big Lutheran church. He said, I didn't know you wore one back in on High Falls Road. That's where the vision for it came from. That's when I had a dream one night, and I got up that morning, and in the dream, God said to me, you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. And you got to realize every single day who you are. And I want you to start wearing a collar. Because in that dream, I wore a collar. And the collar was not for the people. It was for me. It's so every day of my life, when I walked into a hospital, when I walked, wherever I went, it reminded me of who I am. I don't have to wear one now because I remind myself every day of who I am. How many know it's okay to have something to remind you about? It's okay. You know, you can laugh with Tiger Woods, but he wears this little string around his wrist now. Next time you see him play golf, you know why he's wearing that? Like that band around his, because his mother told him to. His mother said, let this remind you of who you are and watch your behavior and do what's right. Some of y'all need a, never mind. Some of us, some maybe we need to tie something around us, huh? To remind us who we are. Who we are. Almost got in a fight one time. A minister almost got in a fight with a guy. Pulled into a restaurant. He was tailgating me, and I slammed on brakes. And I pulled into the restaurant we was going to, and I got out of the car, and I was so mad. I walked over to the car. I wasn't backing down, huh? Barbara said, remember who you are. That's. I got over to the car, and this little bitty dude. I was thankful for that. I was real thankful, he was a little bitty dude. But then I wasn't thankful for what he said. Man, I'm so sorry. I just left the hospital. My mom was dying. Boy, you talking about feeling itsy bitsy. I turned around, tears coming down my face. I walked, Barbara said, well, you okay? I said, nope. You're right. I forgot who I was. I forgot. That's why we do this. Remember. Remember who you are. Get prepared, because life's going to deal you a bad hand every now and then. Something's going to happen. But we come here to be prepared for it. So when those things happen, we don't lose hope, we don't lose faith. We're prepared for it. We're prepared to go through a couple of weeks of whatever can happen, happen, it seems like. We're prepared for it. We don't lose our hope. We don't lose our faith. We're prepared for it. And guess what this is about? Every week, prepare you. Prepare us. Because it's going to come. I mean, no, in this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Won't you bow your head for a moment? You're here, and you said, Buren, I haven't taken my priesthood that serious in a long, long time. Would you lift up your hand and acknowledge that before God and say, I want from this moment, God bless you. From this moment, I'm going to take my priesthood serious. This is a serious matter between me and God. And I want to fulfill the mission He's put me on this earth to fulfill. Just lift, God bless you. I want to take serious my priesthood today. It's a serious matter. Father, we sanctify this moment right now that we're about to enter into. One of the most precious part of the kingdom of God. That you instituted at Passover. And you said, this is my body which is broken for you. And this is my blood which is shed for you. As we come to remember what you've done for us, may we be reminded also that we are to, in return of that, give back, Lord, to other people and become a priest to those who have no priest until they can realize that they can be a part of this priesthood too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Elders be coming in a moment when they're stationed. If you'll just exit to your left and come around and get your elements and return to your seat, and we'll take it together. Thank you. and say what I'm about to say right, because I'm very deliberate with it right now, but I got a wedding next weekend, and but you ask anybody, I always say when I got a wedding, I got a funeral. And when I got a funeral, I say, I got a wedding. I mean, I have said that for 40-some years. Every time, I can't stop it. I got a wedding, I call it a funeral. I have a funeral, I call it a wedding. And I have tried to break that, and I can't break that. And so one day I said, something good's got to come out of this. What happens? He said, well, you're really right. When you go to a wedding, it's really a funeral. Two people better die and live for the other. Two people better die and live for the other. Right? How many know somebody got to die? And when I go to a funeral, it's really a wedding because they've sent it into heaven. They're with their groom forever and ever. And so I'm going to tell you something. When you leave here today, you better die. You better know that your body is given as a sacrifice to everybody. Say, oh, I don't want to do that. Do you want joy? I mean, you want joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Joy comes out of it. This is my blood which is shed for you, to forgive your sins. Now, how many know? I'm leaving here today to be an intercessor for other people, to forgive when I've been wrong, to be the priest that pronounces forgiveness over them. Right? Okay. You'll get it over the next few weeks, I promise. We'll get this thing ironed out really well, and we'll understand what this priesthood is all about. But
you can be seated for just a moment. I hope that you got your bulletins. A lot of important information in those bulletins. One is especially the connection card. Thank you for those of you that each week are faithful to fill that out and to drop that in the bucket as it is brought to you, or if you want to put it in the box that's at the back of the sanctuary at the doors, you can do that. But that's how we hear about prayer requests and things that are going on in your world. Mother's Day is next weekend, so dads, don't forget to make sure you take care of Mama. Make sure everything is going well. We have Family Friend Day planned for the 19th, which is the week after Mother's Day. How many have invited somebody already? Oh, I don't see any hands. Oh, there's a hand. Thank you. Another hand. Family Friend Day. Invite somebody. We will be at Mystic Acres. We will not be here. Okay, we'll be at Mystic Acres, which is out on Williamson Road. In your bulletins next week, it'll be in there again, the map and the address and all of that good information. We're having a taco bar for you to eat right afterwards. The photo booth will be there, the jumpy house, the horses, the pond. Service will be incredible. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a great day. Isn't it good to be in the house of God?
Yes.
Isn't it good to be with His people, to be encouraged? Oh, it's so good. So good. Let's stand. We want to remind you and thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God. We had our quarterly finance team meeting and are aware that we are not exactly meeting budget. We're not in desperate needs, but summertime is upon us. How many of you plan to go somewhere during the summertime sometimes? It happens. Sometimes the church feels the effects of that also. So be conscientious of the goodness of Him and what He has provided for you. Also, in the foyer, the youth are selling Love Over Everything shirts. They have a picture of what it looks like. Next week they'll have a sample. Hopefully at the Family Friends Day, if you've already ordered one, they're going to give it to you on that day. And they'll continue to take those order. And I think there are some You Matter shirts out there also. So if you want to check those out, those are out in the foyer. We serve a great and good God. You matter, and love is over everything. And that is why we celebrate His goodness. So let's worship this morning as we are dismissed.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song, and You are good, good. Oh, You are good, good. Oh, You are good, good. Oh, 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 You are good, good. Oh, oh, let the King be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. And let the King of my heart be the wind. The King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. You are good, you're good. Oh, You are good, good. Oh, You are good, good.
Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let.
Have a great week.